I was just listening to Guru Maharaj just now. But this morning, we were remembering Vrindavan and the machine, special machine they have that sounds like a band playing. And here is one machine that when I went, when I went with Ananda Vardhan Prabhu up to Badrik Ashram, then on the way up at Jyotirmath, the one place called Jyotirmath, there's a famous Nrsingha temple there. And we went in there and they had the aarti going on, and only maybe two of us, or three of us, or very few of us in aarti, but from outside there was a whole band playing. And so I was thinking, where is the band? But this is the band. So you can hear all the drumming. But what it is, there's the machine. And I looked around everywhere. Where are the people playing? And it is above the entrance doorway. This is myself and Ananda Vardhan's shadow there. This is the Himalaya, Nrsingadev temple. This is on the way up to Badrinath. Anyway, we were remembering that machine this morning, and then today I've been doing a lot of organizing of photos and pictures and things, and I just thought, oh, I remember that machine. So I just looked to see and found that. And as we're there, I can show you some photos of when we went up to Badrinath. This is starting. And this is, I remember the name. There's a famous Rama temple here, but it's a while since I was there. I forgot the place. But it's, these are some pictures when, after taking sannyas, receiving sannyas, and then Avadhut Maharaj sent Ananda Vardhan Prabhu of Russia and myself up to Badrinath. And so on the way up, this was just some photos from the journey. This is where we were just now. You saw that. There's Ananda Vardhan. You know him, right? With his iPad. And this is the Nrsingha temple inside here. They're now making a new one, and maybe it is made already. Maybe it is made now. They're making a new temple beside. And this, whoever can read Sanskrit or Hindi, this is the place of Shankaracharya. Shankaracharya, Shiva himself came to preach the Mayavad, etc. But he, this is where it's understood as Shankaracharya. Under the instruction of Krishna, of Vishnu, Shiva came to get people to stop using the Vedic scripture as an excuse for killing innocent animals. So he basically got everybody to behave properly and not to engage in animal slaughter in the name of religion, etc. But this place is a famous place of Shankaracharya. And this is this Jyotirmath also. The air there is extremely crisp and clear. The Himalayas, very crisp air. And this is the cave where Shankaracharya meditated. And some famous things, some murti of Shankaracharya. And this is Badrik. This is Badrik Ashram, and this is the temple of Badri, Badri Narayan temple. This is Badrik Ashram temple. There. And this photo is taken the day before we arrived there, after we took several days to go up there, and we arrived there the day before the opening of the temple. And we'd already been in Gaurapurnima in Nabadeep, and then after Gaurapurnima in Nabadeep, everything gets very hot down on the Indian plain. As soon as, even during Gaurapurnima, often it gets hot, but after Gaurapurnima, it gets very hot. And then we came over to Vrindavan and Delhi, they're all very hot. And Avadhut Maharaj sent us up to here, but as we started on our way up, then we are on the first day, somebody in the bus with us, we're in a like a small bus on the first part of the journey, and they said to us, oh, where are you going? We said, Badrik Ashram. And they said, oh, why are you going there now? Well, why not? It is closed. I'm thinking, why is it closed? And they say it's closed for winter. So it is really hot in Delhi. And then it's like unthinkable. The place is still closed for winter. But it in the Himalayas, it's still winter. You know, it hadn't yet thawed. But it was opening maybe a week later, so we decided just to continue going up, but we'll go slowly on the journey upwards. So we went up bit by bit and planned and arrived there the day before the opening of the temple for the summer. And we didn't know it, but a lot of people also go for that day. And so early in the morning, we went 3:45 in the morning with everything we owned, all the cloth, everything wrapped up. 3:45 in the morning, waiting in line to join the line to go into the temple. But it is the day that they say that the devas, during the winter, the devas, the gods, are doing the worship to the deity during the winter. It is very cold. Man is not generally going there in the winter time. But they, in the November time maybe, or October, sometime, whatever date, the man, humans, hand over the worship to the gods. And then the gods are doing all the way through. And then this next early morning, then man is coming to take over the worship. And they say that the temple, they say this, and why we disbelieve, they say that the temple, it is closed all this time during the winter, the actual temple part. But when they open the temple for the passing over from the gods to the men, that the lights, the lamps, they're all not the electric lights, they are the light, the ghee lamps and everything are all lit, and there's all evidence that the puja has already happened, and then the gods hand it over to the humans. So this next day, early morning, was going to be the day, but you see here, then the whole of the front of the temple is covered in flowers, which I thought was amazing, because all those flowers must have come from the plains. I mean, it's just so cold at this time up here. But you see, it's all flowers, completely decorated, the front of the Badrinath temple. And this is crossing that river, the Alakananda River is going here. Now there's a metal bridge crossing, and there are hot springs just beneath there too. Ha, there he is, the famous Anandavaran Prabhu, Dandavat. There, a closer picture of the temple. And these are just other places typically nearby. And the waterfall just behind a little bit, looking at the village, panorama. And this is Veda Vyasa's cave, Vyasa Gufa. After Badrinath, further up the valley, then we walk up, further up, and then walk up the hill. And here is the cave, it's in here, of Veda Vyasa, where Veda Vyasa collected, compiled the Veda and recited to Ganesh. And Ganesh's cave is just a little down here, Ganesh Gufa, his cave. And so this from here is where the Veda was presented to the world in its organized form by Krishna Dvaipayan Veda Vyas. And this is the view, this is the view that Veda Vyas would see from his cave, looking down the valley. And this is after further on, after Veda Vyas's cave. This is one big rock over a gorge, and in the bottom of this gorge is the river Saraswati. The river Saraswati is down here, and it is told that Bhima put this rock here. He himself picked it up and put the rock here because the Pandavas had to cross this gorge on their way up into the Himalayas, this whole pastime of the Pandavas going off into the Himalayas, one by one. I mean, not one by one, they're going off together, but one by one they're falling. But in order to cross this gorge over the Saraswati, then it is told that Bhima put this huge rock there. So it's a short way further on after Veda Vyasa's cave. And again, this is looking down the valley from that area. Okay, there's the temple close up, Badrinath temple. And inside, there is a deity of Badrinarayan, Lord Vishnu, Badrinarayan. But also, right beside him is Uddhava. And we recently were reading about Krishna's instructions to Uddhava in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that section about, we were reading about the 24 gurus, how the Avadhut was explaining to Maharaj Yadu about the 24 gurus, how he saw in the earth, the wind, the sky, the fire, so many different elements, 24 things, not elements, but things that where he learnt. But in this whole talk with Uddhava, presently, then Krishna tells Uddhava, you understand that I'm leaving this Leela of this world, I'm folding up my play, my theatre, my Leela, and everything now I'm about to leave from this world. And he told to Uddhava, don't you stay in Dwarka, because after I go, Dwarka will be inundated by the sea. And so you go to Badrinath, you go up to Badrinath and you engage in worship there. So his deity is there beside the deity. So this is special insight. And it is rather cold. Another picture of the temple. Kind of a panorama. Huh. And there was meant to be one more picture. It didn't come. But what the other picture was Guru Maharaj. It was Guru Maharaj at the Veda Vyasa's cave. But I remember now, I added it in here, but I didn't. I added it in on the folder on the computer, but not onto the iPad. Excuse me?
What was Guru Maharaj doing at
Veda Vyasa's
cave?
What was he doing? So Srila Gurudev, he used to make pilgrimage tours of South India, of holy places in India, and to the Himalayas, to Badrinath and to Veda Vyasa's cave and to various places along the way. And he did this in order to raise money, because he did it with a group, so he would advertise and get some group of like faithful people, good-natured people, and then with Guru Maharaj's permission, he did these tours to raise money for the temple, and by association, those people associating with the devotees, also they got many devotees through those tours. People became, you know, initiated disciples after coming back, and then they've been with the devotees. If you've lived with the devotees for a month or two, or however long they were, 6 weeks or something, then you're getting every day some information about Mahaprabhu and Nityananda. And Gurudev originally started those because he found much difficulty going door to door begging. And yesterday we heard from Srila Goswami Maharaj, and he's saying about, you know, how a lot of opposition, especially in Calcutta and in Bengal, you know, when you're going preaching and they're trying to say, oh no, we're worshipping Kali and we are, you know, drinking and offering the goat to Kali, so many things. And a lot of difficulty in preaching and collecting that way. But Gurudev proposed, he said to Guru Maharaj, said, oh, we see that other of your godbrothers, they are successfully running these tours. And if you give your permission, I can try to do like this also. Then we will get good people to come, pious people, on for organized pilgrimage. This way we'll make some money for the temple and some preaching as well. And Guru Maharaj said yes. But he said yes, but where you go must be connected with Mahaprabhu and with our line, with our sampradaya. It must be always so that it's got some connection with Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, whatever it may be, the six Goswamis, such and such, etc. And so, first of all, Gurudev was doing in South India and then added the tours to the Himalayas also. And Guru Maharaj said, yes, you may go, but you must, again, you have to, if you go into the Himalaya, you must keep it in connection with Mahaprabhu. So all of these you see in Srimad Bhagavatam, then we've got so many descriptions about Badrinath and Uddhava and so many things. So our line can be presented while going to those holy places. And then this year when Guru Maharaj, not this year we went, but this year where the photograph was, when Guru Maharaj went, then that year, Srila Gurudev Govinda Maharaj, he made all the arrangements and everything, and then while he made all the arrangements, got the people, everything going on, but he'd already been before on these tours, and then that year Guru Maharaj said, but this year you will stay in Chaitanya Sarasvat Mat. Gurudev saying, oh, why, Gurudev said, I shall go with the group. So Guru Maharaj went with the pilgrimage party up into the Himalayas, and that year Gurudev stayed in the mat to look after the mat and everything in Guru Maharaj's absence. So I don't know, it is not impossible that I do actually have the picture somewhere else. Anyway, this was a little bit in addition to what we were saying this morning. Oh, here it is. Here. It's already here in a different place. This is that same cave. You see the stripy lines that you saw before? And here is Guru Maharaj, here in the middle. There is Guru Maharaj. And this is the group, and that says Sri Chaitanya Sarasvat Mat, Koledanga Nabadeep. Oh, come on. Nothing is perfect, especially me, so how can I expect anything else to be perfect? But I know what it is. He's run out of memory in his little brain. So where did I find it? In here, yes. So this, here's Guru Maharaj. And that time, we went, I think, 7 or 8 or 9 days we went, but by road. We walked a little bit, but actually, when you walk now, you're walking on this road, and dangerous road, because the big drop and the cars are on the, you know, your defense, as a pedestrian, you've got to get out of the way of the cars, and it's not very comfortable. But this time, they went maybe 2 weeks walking. Maybe not as much, or maybe about that. I don't know exactly. But it is walking, walking, walking. It was very much a walking journey. And Anandavardhana, myself, we also wanted to walk and not go by vehicle at all. But they have these jeeps, you know, the small jeeps where you get many, many people inside. And now the road, the path that the sadhus used to walk is where they've made the road. They blasted the road into the mountain. Anyway, this is in some follow-up from this morning when we were remembering the machine and then this machine at the Nrsimha temple and on our way up, and this was here. Jai Srila Bhakti Rokak Sridhardev Goswami Maharaj Ki. Jai. So today is Saturday. It's our informal day, no television cameras, only for us together to have an evening program. So we can chant Sri Guru Charana Padma. Govinda Govinda, Sri Guru Charana Padma. Would you like to lead for us? Govinda. That is a good question. The good question. It is generally not for protection, but for material benefit. They are thinking we will worship her and she will be quickly pleased and quickly give me so much material wealth. This is the thing. But it's completely odd for us, peculiar for us, when we go to Bengal to see such worship going on. We think, why? And the pictures that they're worshipping, the deities they're worshipping, looking very alarming, very shocking. Whereas we are worshipping beautiful Krishna. But it is the modern age and many misconceptions or partial conceptions of what is real spiritual life. They don't know the goal of life. So somebody was asking about Mahaprabhu. Why did he appear in Bengal? But also Bengal is a big challenge to make into a fully theistic place. And he sent Nityananda, when Mahaprabhu was in Puri, he sent Nityananda to Bengal. He said, Nityananda, you go to Bengal, because it takes someone strong like you to convince these people about Krishna. So somehow historically it has been like that for so long. But everything goes in waves, and at the up until recent present time in Bengal, then Bengal has been in a wave of like trying to pray to get some material benefit rather than, it's like the praying for give me, rather than how can I serve and how can I gain my visa to enter the higher world. But yes, it is a good question.
They're worshipping Makali is indirectly worshipping Lord Shiva?
Well, no, they're worshipping Makali. It's indirectly, ultimately worshipping Krishna. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, those who worship the devas, they're actually worshipping me, but without proper knowledge, because everything is coming from Krishna. So it's not that the devas can independently do anything. Actually, whatever power they have to give something, that is also coming from Krishna. But when we don't have to think too much about the whys of others, we want to focus on the whys of those who are engaged in the highest pursuit and understand that. Because there are many motives in this material world for wealth, for fame, for family, for so many things in this world. But our motive should be always geared away from the advertising of the material world and engage, if you like, in hearing the advertising of Krishna's own land. This is what Mahaprabhu was doing. He was giving news of the land of sweetness and beauty. So I'm not going to analyze too much why they're worshipping this, why they're doing that. But one thing you can say why is because they haven't got the fortune yet of understanding the Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishna, Satchit Ananda Vigraha, Satchit Ananda Vigraha, Anadi Adi Govinda Savakarana Karanam, the origin of the origin, because Durga has her origin also. The whole creation has its origin, but what is that origin? And the origin of that origin in the supreme degree is Govinda, Krishna. Govinda Madi Purusham Tammaham Bhajami. In our morning program, recently we have been chanting that as well as Chaitanya Charitamrita, we've been going through the prayers of Lord Brahma. Sri Guru Charana Padma, please. Shri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakati Sadma.
Shri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakati Sadma.
Shri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakati Sadma. Bandhu Mui Savadana Mate.
Bandhu
Mui Savadana Mate.
Bandhu Mui Savadana Mate.
Krishna. Anyway, we were looking forward to Saturday because we are thinking, okay, on Saturday we can do an evening program of bhajans, which include this, the others, and Pranamami Sara Prabhupada Param and Prema Dharma Deva Stotram. But now somebody has found some cameras, so we're meant to be answering some questions. And actually, we miss Prema Dharma Deva Stotram. And in the morning, we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in the evening, a little bit of Prema Dharma Deva Stotram is Chaitanya Charitamrita condensed. And in Nabadeep, they are singing Prema Dharma Deva Stotram. And in the evening in Nabadeep, it is reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Anyhow, any questions?
Yes, Maharaj. First question, what is going to be in Australia where you are going?
Kangaroos, wallabies. But we are going, and where we are going is Sri Govinda Dham. And I was just speaking yesterday evening, yesterday evening, to Australia, and they are making all preparations. The specific thing this year is it is the 20th anniversary of the installation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Gauranga Sundar. 20th anniversary of the installation of Gauranga Sundar, which is their deity, large Gauranga Sundar, at Sri Govinda Dham. Srila Gurudev was there. Srila Gurudev inaugurated the deity, did the installation of the deity at Govinda Dham. And that year there was a big gathering from all over the world were there. And also that year Gurudev sent me to Australia, and devotee Purnananda Prabhu from India, he sent two of us there a week or so before he went, in order to help to get everything ready so that when Gurudev came, that the altar, the installation, everything would all take place as smoothly as possible. So usually I did not go on any tours with Gurudev, but that year, by Gurudev's grace and for some service necessity, then by his grace, and I was in Australia for that occasion. And so I was in Australia recently, a few months ago, but they very much inviting, no, you have to come because you were here at that time, you cannot not come, this. So I'm going for that festival now. And already Shripad Tyagi Maharaj is there, Bhakti Lalita Devarasi is there, and from all over Australia and other places, and from America, we heard that Dibya Shakti Devarasi is going, and I'm not sure, Paramananda Prabhu was hoping to go, but just yesterday he informed he won't actually be able to go this time. He's responsible, busy person, has commitments here, but he was hoping to go. And it's going to be a big festival. And so they told me yesterday that Bhakti Lalita, she has arrived safely. She is in Govinda Dham. And what they told in the message was, and she is waiting for the flood. And I thought, oh, it's Australia. I know it can rain in Australia. And I know Bhakti Lalita took her called gum boots, the Wellington boots, with her. So I was thinking, is it flood of devotees or flood of rain? And so when I talked yesterday by Skype, then they said, no, flood of devotees. And they found it very funny that Lalita took her rain boots with her, because it's summer, it's midsummer. Here it's winter, your coldest time, but there now it's midsummer. Christmas and New Year is summertime because it's the southern hemisphere. But Lalita, when she defended her Wellington boots, when they saw her boots, and she said, yes, but every time I come it rains. And my experience of Australia, and that year too, the 20 years ago, that mid-summer installing the deities, it was cold. It was cold. I was surprised how cold. And that time, we were taking the morning bath outside in the this outside shower room with just a shower. It was early morning. It was quite cold and chilly. And I remember. But they say, no, Australia is always very sunny. It's only like that. But Lalita has the experience, it rains. But the flood that they are waiting for is the flood of devotees. So we're going for that. And of course, not of course, but that installation was on the 1st of January. And this was in discussion with the devotees there. And Gurudev agreed it also that yes, we'll install on the 1st of January because it is a holiday for everybody. Mostly in the world, then the calendar, the sun calendar date changes for festivals by full moon, new moon, and so many things. But Gurudev agreed for that installation date, it'll be 1st of January, because everybody then has a holiday and they'll come. And so we know that from Sydney, from Melbourne, from all different places, devotees are coming together for that festival. And we know from year by year, there have been summer festivals in Siberia, summer festivals in St. Petersburg, summer festivals in, by different names, Veda life and ethno life and various festivals in Moscow, St. Petersburg, in Sochi, Krasnodar, Abkhazia, all these kind of summer festivals have been taking place. And also a summer festival in Kiev, in Ukraine, bigger and bigger every year. This last year's summer festival in Italy, in Villa Govinda, North Italy. So now, while everyone else is in winter, there's going to be summer festival in December and January in Australia. And when I first came here from Australia, I told everybody to, all are invited. So we are going. They have many programs planned, and we are going to chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So this is the festival. It's the 20th anniversary, it's the Vaishnava festival, it's the summer festival, and whenever we can have an excuse for devotees to come together, then that's a good occasion. And we should try to make excuses for devotees to come together. And we have many festivals. And now, coming up in January, there are lots of festivals. I remember in the calendar, one after another, there are festival days. And one thing in being in Nabadeep, we used to kind of little bit joke amongst ourselves that, oh, it's very good to be with the Vaishnavas, because on so many occasions, people want to do some, like Shraddha ceremony or something, Shraddha means some remembrance of the forefathers or somebody who's passed away like that. And so then how are they doing it? By sponsoring a feast for the deity and the Vaishnavas. So I remember January as being a month of lots of festivals in Nabadeep. And in Bengal, it is the traditional time for what they call picnic. They go for picnic, but they means they generally rent a 40-seater bus and take 80 people for a picnic into the countryside, and then they cook and they make a big meal and everything. And the only answer, because I asked different people, why January and February is this, especially January, why this time is especially the picnic time in Bengal? And they said, it's only because it is cool time. The air is cold, and so that time everybody's happy to come out in the day. Otherwise, in most of the months of the year, it's so hot that picnic is kind of hot. You all have to be in the shade and you want some wind and everything. But they have also, when it's cold, they have some good appetite to eat more so they can have a bigger feast. So it's a picnic time, and the picnic usually means some big loud speakers with distorted Bollywood music too. But this is another thing. That is Bengal in general.
Maharaj, what would be your advice for the devotees, how to live in the ashram?
How to live in the ashram?
Yes. organization. Or maybe love? No? Maybe leave.
No, I mean, I'm just trying to think. There'll be different circumstances everywhere of how to live in the ashram. I mean, my experience is from being in Sri Chaitanya Saraswati Math in Navadvip, and kind of what the requirements were of Gurudev for the devotees to live in the ashram. And the main requirement is that they have permission of who's running the ashram. I mean, it's not a question of coming to the temple and just saying, oh, I'm going to sit here and, you know, I'm going to be in the ashram. But we have to be accepted by the ashram. We have to be accepted in Navadvip, of course, by Gurudev. And visitors were always welcome. I mean, means everybody can come for 3 days, 4 days like this, or from abroad for maybe a week or something. Everybody can come as a visitor, but for living in the temple, then those who are willing to do, I mean, happily willing to do seva, it's not something like, I don't know if you know, but in Israel, they have kibbutz. These kibbutz things are, you work for like 5 hours a day or something, but you get free accommodation and free food, something like that. It's not that kind of thing. It is, the temple is a place where people want to participate in the programs, want to do service, want to be a contributor to the temple. And so devotees come, and who has devoted heart, they are always welcome. And Guru Maharaj makes that point too. He says that one who is devoted, one who is self-giving, a devotee, he is welcome everywhere. Everyone will welcome a devotee. So from our side, to come to the temple, it must be actually the mood of coming to the guru and coming to the senior devotees. We'll be coming with humility, we'll be coming with relevant inquiry and rendering service. This is actually what is the ashram. The ashram is for our cultivation of service life. But in Navadvip, when people would want to stay and live in the ashram, then Gurudev would, in general, if we don't know them so much first, then Gurudev would generally say, you come and visit first. You come and visit, and then after visiting, then you see if you can live in the ashram. You see us, we see you. And then visitor is visitor, but sevaka, who is in the ashram, they are sevakas, servitors.
Question.
Maharaj, we also have our own personal bedrooms, not temple rooms, like personal area. Is it important to keep it clean? Does it?
Absolutely. You're in Krishna's temple.
So bedroom also belongs to the temple area.
Of course it does. Everything is related to the temple. And if you've been to India, if you've been to Navadvip, nowadays that's not always the case, but before, almost everybody would pass through Howrah railway station because that was the way to get to Navadvip and back. But now people more rich, so they can afford to rent taxis and things. But in our day, we're always going through Howrah railway station. And in Howrah railway station, which is one crazy place on planet Earth, then there's this huge sign that says, cleanliness is next to godliness. Then you sometimes have to look at that and think, Well, in Delhi, they used to have road signs in Delhi on the new roads. On the new roads, they have road markings, you know, the white lines in the road. And they used to have these signs saying, Lane driving is sane driving. But then I think I haven't noticed those signs recently, because I think they started to realize, oh, we are categorizing our own drivers as insane. Saying lane driving. So also similarly, in Howrah Station it says cleanliness is next to godliness, but sometimes we wonder about the cleanliness there. But it is a fact that we want to have everything clean. And whenever we go somewhere, we should always leave it at least as clean or cleaner than we went into it. That is also part of coming to an ashram, when devotees will come, and then when devotees go, they should leave everything in a clean way. Whether coming for 2 days or 2 weeks or 2 months, but leaving, it's not a hotel that, oh, the chambermaid is going to come and clean everything and change the sheets. And we got the example in India from the brahmacharis and sannyasis, the Bengali brahmacharis and sannyasis, that when they leave from a room, even if they've only stayed for a day or two or a weekend or something as a guest, you see, when they go, they wash the bed sheets and hang the bed sheets outside, clean the floor. The room is clean when they leave. So it's ready for the next person. Not that, oh, I've stayed here, oh, some servant will come and clean the room or make the devotees the servant. So there's actually, you know, a fair bit of etiquette, but the etiquette is considerate living. Trying not to give trouble to others, and we're trying to remember that we are living in a temple and that everything in the temple is for cultivating our devotion, devotional service. So the property of the temple, we'll take good care, and the cleanliness of the temple and our rooms, we will take good care. And a lot of the time we didn't have our own rooms also. We are sleeping with many devotees. And later in Nabadeep, there are more rooms, and when it's not festival time, then space. When festival time, everybody is sharing more people than beds, so it is happy time. And in the morning, we just passed that section of the Gundicha Marjanam, cleaning the temple. And then there we read about how cleaning the temple is like cleaning the heart. We want to make the temple clean and fit for the Lord to come and to be worshipped there. So also we need to make our heart like that. We need to make our environment clean like that. So we will do our best and try to follow that procedure too, that we will not put others to difficulty. We will wash our own thing, do our own thing, clean our room, clean this, clean that. Yes, but living in the temple, and anyhow, many things. And Guru Maharaj had the standard for those living in the temple. If you did not attend Mangal Aarti, you did not get breakfast. But you see, it indicates his stress to Mangal Aarti, importance of Mangal Aarti. Why will he say that? He's not a cruel person, he's trying to do good for us. And Gurudev also stressed Mangal Aarti. And Gurudev up early in the morning, 3:30 in the summer when everything is lighter, 3 in the morning. Up early, early to bed, early to rise. Makes a man healthy, wealthy and wise, is an English saying. But I mean, we saw this in the lifestyle in Nabadeep and in India. So they laid stress on Mangal Aarti. And we see the Mangal Aarti is a happy time, in a happy way to start the day.
We're talking about Mangal Aarti because seasons change, and winter time the sun comes out later than summertime. Shall Mangal Aarti also change because of the sunrise time?
That depends on the individual ashram and who is running it and how the savor is running. But in India, in Nabadeep, yes, it changed. Yes, it's changed. But here you have to follow what is guided, because you have some particular duty at a particular time every day, and so you want to follow that as is instructed here. And some places in the very north, like St. Petersburg, in the summer is never dark. It is never dark. Midnight, it's not sun in the sky, but midnight it is completely bright. I mean completely bright, not little bit bright. It is fully bright. The birds are flying in the sky and all these things in the summer. But in the winter it is the opposite, like 2 p.m. maybe, the sun sets. Something like that. It is light for a little bit and then it is really dark. So what are you going to have? Mongol Aarti? Mongol Aarti at 10 a.m. and evening Aarti at 2 p.m. It's not very practical. So we have to be realistic to the circumstances. But in Abhadeep, it changes a bit. It changes a bit, but not extremely. Actually, everywhere in the world it changes a bit, but of course on the nearer the equator you are, the less it changes. One thing today, I was walking here in the evening today, and the sun takes a little while to set here. But in some places, the sun, when it's low, then you literally, you see the sun go down. I mean, within a few minutes, the sun's shining, it's bright, and then, you know, very quickly goes to dark. But not here, because we're a little bit north. Little bit north, not a long way north. But everywhere on the planet, especially the north and south, then it's going to vary when is summer and where is winter. And here it is not varying so much. Like in Nabadeep, it's not varying so much. But interestingly, I mean, for me, now we are past, we're here in Chiang Mai in the northern hemisphere, we're past midwinter. So now the nights are going to get shorter and the days longer. But it's amazing how quickly time passes by. We need to use every moment always. We want to treasure the time that we have. Treasure it means use it properly, not to waste it.
How do you think, what can be the reason when somebody have to leave the ashram?
Well, there may be different reasons, but when a devotee leaves from the ashram or leaves from the association of devotees or leaves their chanting of japa and leaves Krishna, you know, that Krishna consciousness, if that's what you're meaning, I don't know. But Gurudev always would think, why? Not, oh, they're nonsense, they've got left from the temple, and why are they going to Maya, this, that, and the other. But he's always looking to see why. I mean, some offense, especially some offense. If something that they have done wrong, that the Lord is displeased that they will be staying in that association. So we must always be careful not to make offense. If we always respectful to the devotees, the deity, the Dham, everything in relation to Tulsi and everything in relation to our devotional life and devotional service, we pray to always be under the shelter and accepted by the devotees and with the devotees. And when devotees go away, Gurudev always thinking why. And sometimes immediately he says, oh, because of this. And then sometimes later, can be weeks later, we say, yes, now I understand why such and such person left. They did this. This happened. This I understand. So we must be careful ourselves to protect our bhakti lata, the creeper of devotion. We must be careful to protect that, not to let it be damaged in any way. And the safe way to keep our creeper growing is by keeping the association of devotees and not to leave their association. But for somebody to be, you mean kicked out of the ashram? Gurudev did send a few people out of the ashram, and one devotee. But they know why. And one devotee, he was very sweet actually, but he had some bad habit, which some bad habit is there. And he had some bad habit, and making his bad habit behind the temple all the time, and everybody smelling his bad habit. and he told, you cannot do this, you know, it's a temple, this, that, and the other, and so many things. And anyway, he cannot give up his bad habit. And then Gurudev said, he has to leave. Well, you know, one, two, three, how many times you can say, but in the temple, people's behavior should be clean. The four regulative principles. I saw today also, while doing some cleaning of the files on the computer, I saw today, and I did not put it here, Gurudev's handwritten, Gurudev's own handwriting about the principal things for establishing an ashram, what you should do for the ashram. And there were 6 or 8 points. And one of them was, follow the four directives. Like that. So, intoxication, we have sympathy for those who are addicted to intoxication. But if it is persistent and if it is cannot give it up, then cannot stay in the ashram. The ashram is for clean living. And we have seen that those who have been taking intoxication too, then they seem to like to recruit others in the association. So it is making difficulty for those who are trying to live a clean life. But anyway, this particular devotee that I'm thinking of then had to ask him to go, Gurudev telling to, he must go, he cannot stay. So told, and he said, yes, Prabhu, I understand, I have to go. He said, can I go tomorrow? And then I get my things ready. I said, yes, you go tomorrow, everything. And then it took him some time to get his things together and everything. And Gurudev was in the book room in Nabadeep, the book room downstairs beneath where the offices are, everything. And Gurudev was in the book room, he's sitting there. And the devotee had been staying downstairs at the back left, and it's the afternoon, and he'd got all his bags packed, and he came round, and then Gurudev was there. He's coming to see me to give obeisances and go, but Gurudev was there. And he was so humble and sweet with Gurudev, and Gurudev was so humble and sweet with him. And, you know, it's just, Prabhu, you understand everything? And the Prabhu said, yes, yes, I understand everything. And just, he just knows that he understood, okay, I can't stay in the temple, but it's not that his faith is broken or anything else, but there is some standard to living within the temple environment. And they always maintained a good relationship. And the devotee, it's not that he didn't come back again, he came back. And he came back and he came, gave gifts to Gurudev and did many sweet things like that. But he didn't live in the temple and he had to leave. I mean, this, if that's your question, you know, this is one example. And we have other examples too. But very few devotees Gurudev sent from the temple. Rather, he's trying to keep the devotees in the temple. But there is always going to be some exception. But Gurudev does everything for the benefit of the ashram and the benefit of the person. But everybody, except who was there for literally maybe 3, 4, 5 days, anybody who was there a little bit longer, Gurudev asking, what seva are they doing? He wants them to have seva. But in Navadeep, there's so much to do, so it's easy to give seva. Easy to find seva, because lots of seva there, especially for handy men. Here, you've got a lot of handy people who can do handy things. I can see in Navadeep, so many things they can do. During our time, things that which could be done. Hare Krishna. Anyway, we're having an informal evening here, and my last Saturday. Do we have any adventures for tomorrow planned? Tomorrow Sunday, it's the adventure day in Chiang Mai.
Tomorrow
fasting. Tomorrow is Christmas Day, and here anyway in Thailand, it's Ekadashi is on this day tomorrow.
Mahadwadashi,
but it's the the fasting for Ekadashi. The fasting is Saturday, is Sunday, Christmas Day. Oh, tomorrow's Christmas Day. So now you have to think about your Christmas cakes that you're going to offer to Giriraj. Giriraj can have all grains. It's the devotees who don't get grains. And we've had many happy Christmases, literally happy Christmases in Navadvip with Gurudev, with the devotees. Many happy Christmases, I have to say. Gurudev very generous and broad and understanding. Oh, this is generally it's a happy day for everybody, and Gurudev happily giving glorification of Jesus for his in context, and that he's receiving gifts and giving gifts and many things on this day. And devotees, the Western devotees, putting the balloons and many things, Christmassy things. And making Christmas cake. All right. Jai Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Rakha Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. And I remember Christmas with Gurudev, with Guru Maharaj, in Guru Maharaj time also. And I remember specifically one cake that they made on Christmas Day and with Guru Maharaj. And how they made it. That cake, later they maybe got something more fancy, but that cake was made with this oven, maybe this tall, this wide. You sit it on the flame, on the fire, and it has got two, it's like a box inside a box, and between the box the hot air goes around and goes out to the chimney at the top. So that's how they get the heat all the way around the box, and they made Christmas cake with that, and it was a very good Christmas cake. I remember it until now. Jai Shri Rupanuga Guru Vaga Ki Jai, Jai Shri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai, and Navadvip Saparika Shri Guru Goranga Gandhava Govinda Sundar Ju Ki Jai, all the sweet devotees Ki Jai, all Shri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha. Gopal Govindaram Shri Madhusudana. Giridhari Gopinath Madana Mohana. Shri Chaitanya Nityananda Shri Advaita Chandra. Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Rupa Sanatan Bhata Raghunatha. Gopala Bhata Dasa Raghunatha. Echai Gosai Kari Charana Vandana. Jaha Hoite Bignana Shabishta Purana. Chai Gosai Ja Mui Taradasa. Tasavara Pada Renu Mora Panchagrasa. charan sebi bhakta sane basa. Janame janame mora e abhilasa. Chai gosai jabbe brache koila basa. Radha Krishna nitya lila korela prakasha. Anande bolo hari bhaja brindavana. Guru Vaishnava Pade Majaya Mana. Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Padma Kari Asha. Hari Nam Sankirtan Kohe Narottama Dasa. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gauravakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Girirar Govindanju ki Jai. Jai Saprika Shri Guru Goranga Gandhava Govinda Sundarju ki Jai. Jai Saprika Shri Guru Goranga Radha Marva Sundarju ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Srila Bhakti Sunda Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Srila Bhakti Rakkhak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Thakur Prabhupada ki Jai. Jai Shri Rupanuga Guru Vaga ki Jai. Jai Shri Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki Jai. Shrimati Tulasi Devi ki Jai. Jai Shri Chaitanya Sarasat Mat ki Jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Bimala Vidut Maharaj ki Jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Sudhir Goswami Maharaj ki Jai. Shri Chaitanya Sarasat Acharya Brinda ki Jai. All the assembled devotees ki jai, and all the worldwide devotees ki jai, Shri Harinam Sankirtan ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.